Hey, why am I his sidekick, all right? How do you know he's not my sidekick?
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly.
Stay tuned, Mitchie's got the creepiest news.
From books to TV, even movie reviews.
Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose.
Even a superhero fight club will we usually lose.
So popping those earbuds, turn up those speakers.
Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features.
And either listen by weekly or you can binge us.
We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Let's do this, because this is, again, we're not going to be, okay, all right.
Are we spoiler or non-spoiler?
Let's 100% spoiler. Yeah. We're going to spoil Thor, because you can't not spoil
it's
Thor.
Hard,
so let's get into Thor, and thank you for waiting an hour and 15 minutes for us to get into the Thor talk, which is
we
what I'm sure you had played
like,
for in the first place.
An hour and 15.
Skip an hour ahead.
What we're talking about, Thor.
Because here, okay, so let's do this. Let's tackle this in a more constructive way, because I have a feeling we're all three of us are going to crap on this movie more than it deserves, because there's more disappointment in what could have been over what was. So let's just talk about what was for a second, and let's just, what were some aspects of the Thor movie that you really liked? Why don't we start with Mashko? Mashko, give me a couple things that you loved about the movie.
I kind of brought it up earlier. Christian Bale.
Gore.
Yeah.
He's
I think that's unanimous.
Absolutely. He jumps off the screen compared to anybody else in this film. And you have Russell Crowe, you have Natalie Portman, you know, they're both Oscar winners, if I'm remembering correctly. When you look at what like all the other actors are doing, they cannot, like Chris Hemsworth is nothing compared to Christian Bale from an acting standpoint. And it's just so frustrating to see that, you know, him being so phenomenal in that role.
Stay good. Stay positive. Stay positive. We're gonna get negative. But stay positive.
Let me add this one other thing. No, I can't. It's not positive. So I'll talk about it later. But I.
So the only positive was Gore.
There was a
wow. Mosco,
I mean, and you know our friend from Ted Lasso. You know, we'll get there.
We'll talk about that as well. All right, Feach, what did you love?
So the
about
very beginning and the very end of this, I really enjoyed.
I mean, much like Mashko, it's definitely Gore. Christian Bale, what he was able to do with that character on screen was just the short time he had. Yeah, it was It was phenomenal.
Very rarely do you get features mess up. rarely does that happen.
It was really phenomenal. I even liked the presence they allowed the character to have. Like obviously when Chris Hemsworth is on scene as Thor, you get this upbeat, lighthearted feel. It's funny, it's comedy. And the moment that Christian Bale comes on the scene as Gore, you get there's a certain edge that happens, and it gets slightly darker. Still has comedic, but it's you know when Gore's there, the atmosphere changed. Mm-hmm. Almost immediately. I love the way they shot every time he was on screen. And I don't even get into the shooting of the film that much, but there was a lot of different aspects to how they shot things that were cool character wise. I think the story could have been condensed. Definitely Mm-mm. have
no
expanded.
Nope. I'm gonna stop Mashko. I'm gonna stop you.
I'm sorry. All positive. I really like Jane Foster as Thor. I like to see it was cool seeing like the Mjolnir and the different power sets. Also, the interaction of Mjolnir, Thor, Stormbreaker, hilarious.
Oh God, him and the Stormbreaker and jealous Stormbreaker is one of the best parts of the movie when it just shows up slightly off screen.
See, I thought that was overused. Between I thought it was overused.
The goats. Oh my!
Well, the goats are funny because he just wanted to make sure that apparently this might be the issue with Taika Waititi. Apparently, the goats made it into the movie because he wanted James Gunn to have to write about the goats in his.
I also saw that, where a lot of the things that he does, even in his other films, is just to troll the audience and other people involved with it. And that I could completely see why that would be it.
That can be a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think those problems actually show well in this movie. But again, positives. We'll stay in John, stop it.
There are a lot of positives to the film. Again, like, the inventiveness behind doing some of the things they did, one would be traveling, using a Bifrost with Stormbreaker. That was kind of cool to see. It was a lot of things. But those are the main things I could stay positive about.
I'm amazed that's it. That's the only things that you guys can say. I think as comic fans, and I think this also has a lot to do with Marvel movies in general right now, as comic fans, we can argue about how accurate some of the stuff are, the portrayals are, but we've never seen a better expansion in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
The expansion that we got in this, all of the other gods that were in, that were entered. What was the house they were in? Where all the Allfathers meet.
Omnipotent City.
Yes, that's a huge deal in the comics, especially with Gore. Like that's a big, big realm. Not the Negative Zone?
Shadow Realm. Yeah.
Seeing Eternity, seeing the heads of other Celestials.
Yeah.
Like the Marvel cosmology got expanded to a degree that no other movie since Eternals has been able to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we can get it. You guys have already said my positives, which is the humor and gore. I guess we can get into the negatives now. The negatives is that everything that they showed us was just wasted potential. The movie is wildly bloated with what could be three great movies. We get one mediocre movie. Like the Guardians scene is really good, except for it's so underutilized that it just feels just shoehorned in there. Jane, really great. But because she's not on screen very often, we really can't feel for her cancer situation, nor can we feel for, like, most of her time is trying to figure out a catchphrase. That's most of her time on screen is figuring out a catchphrase, which is kind of, you know, Gore's juxtaposition for the goofiness of Thor is brilliant.
Yes.
And if that was the whole movie, a confused, funny Thor in this dark realm of demons and shadows that were attacking, because let's remember that Gore in the comics crushes Thor so badly when they first meet that we never really got that sense of Gore. We never got the sense of urgency with Gore. We thought like he was going to go to Eternity and he's going to make he's going to make his wish and all the gods die. In the comics, he was building the God Bomb and most people didn't know about it. Like, he was time traveling and stuff, and most people didn't really know what his plan was. We just knew it was a dude out there killing gods. And it became such a big deal that Thor needed to travel to the past to get a past Thor, and he had to get God King Thor, and all three of them together had to fight him, and they still lost. It was like he had to have two Mjolnirs and endowed with the Necro Sword to make
Odin
a dent
force
in Gore. And yet Gore just doesn't feel like that is intimidating as he could have been. Gore, like I feel like the story should have been Gore's opening, kept Gore the same. We expand it. Like, let me get all the detail of Gore's planet and show the rest of his species dying off. And then we move into Thor being goofy. Everything starts getting darker as he finds out more gods die. You know, he gets crashed. Gore out of nowhere comes in, whips the piss out of him. He needs to go find help in order to take out Gore, who's going to Eternity. That's where you bring in Beta Ray Bill, which, again, beep you for not bringing in Beta Ray Bill in this movie. And then you get Jane Foster's Thor throughout the whole thing about, you can have Thor continually checking in on her or don't even have him check in. You could just have her having cancer be a bigger part of the plot line that then melds with the actual story of Gore when they need her to take him on. You know what I mean?
Right.
But instead we got a half Guardians movie and a half Zeus movie that both kind of fell flat. Both scenes fell flat.
Yeah. What it does really well though for me, and you know, we've been talking about this for a very long time, where, you know, in the past the comics drove the movies and now the movies are driving the comics. Like, I do want to check out the source material behind all this stuff. And I can't say that I get that same feeling from a lot of other titles that they make. So, plus one for Marvel on
that. That's good. No, that's good. That's good. But this is the problem with this phase in general. This is the whole ride home. This is all Features and I were talking about. The problem with Phase 4 is that it's wildly bloated. Everything that they do has to deal with the prior plot lines that haven't been wrapped up yet, that are leading into this, that are usually fixed in 15 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, don't even give me the plot line, the plot thread, if you're just going to wrap it up real fast. You know what I mean? So right off the bat, you have an issue of it just being overly crowded. But then Taika Waititi's need for comedy hurt the story of gore. Like, Taika Waititi probably shouldn't have used gore. Like, Mad Gog would have been a better character for Taika Waititi. Mad Gog, a crazy, just weird-looking pig thing that everyone's terrified of, which was what Jane Foster's actual final storyline was about anyway, would have fit his world way more than gore did. Because gore, that juxtaposition of gore made it interesting, but it was only there for like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So instead... So the stories that have brand new Marvel characters are really just looking for cultural mythology to expand on, where the characters that are established are so bogged down because of prior movies that they can't have an individual good story.
Yeah.
Like, it's ruining. Doctor Strange was the same way. Doctor Strange felt very bloated and rushed. It didn't, like, the first Doctor Strange to the second one. The second one's got a lot more action. It's a lot more exciting, but it's nowhere near as good of a thought story. Out plot line as the first movie. Mm-hmm. The first movie's story was so much better than the second one, because the second one was not as much of a story as it was, here's a bunch of scenes that happen and there's a character that goes from the beginning to the end.
Yeah. I mean, I said it earlier, the Guardians 3 was supposed to come out before this, and, you know, everything went down with the James Gunn situation and all that other stuff. So they had to reorganize, and then the pandemic hits. And so this might have definitely have been shoehorned into this, and all this stuff needs to be in here to tell the rest of the story. Or, you know,
which is
when we get Guardians 3, is it going to be from a timeline standpoint still before this movie? And that's where they met up.
That's a good question, because they don't play around with timelines like the rest of the MCU does. Yeah. They just fit their movie in wherever the hell they want.
Right. And, you know, that's at what the end of, I forget what movie it was, but Thor goes off with the Guardians, you know, the Asgardians, all that good stuff. And then he returns with them. So I guess we're going to get that adventure. I don't know. But
maybe. Shoehorned
and that's
a good question.
Is a good word.
That'd be dope.
That's a good question. But I think there's a bigger problem. And I think that is with the Avengers movies and the crossover stuff, there's so many plot threads that need to be tied up before the next story starts that following the scheme of comics doesn't work long term like this. Because comic books have the luxury of telling you a setup story. A story like, for example, Dan Slott takes over Spider-Man. The first thing he does is wrap up plot threads from the last story. And then start putting pieces in place where he needs to be for the story he actually wants to tell. So there's a whole series of comics that comes out to set up the actual story, right? Death of Justice League, that was the story that kind of set up Dark Crisis, which is going on now. But movies try and force all that into the same movie. So instead, cut the Guardian scene, make it a half hour to 45 minute Disney Plus special that closes that storyline and then moves us into getting more gore, because you just cut out 45 minutes of movie.
Yeah.
You could have given us so much more had that have been used on Disney, because you wouldn't need to watch it. You could still enjoy the gore story for what it is. But if you really want to know, sign up for Disney Plus and watch that. Plus, everyone would then want Disney Plus more.
Yeah, I mean, until we see an A-list character on Disney Plus, because right now we're not really seeing that. Maybe in cameos, but not an actual. I guess the closest one was Hawkeye, which I know a lot of people are like, it's Hawkeye, but
you can argue Sebastian Stan.
Yeah.
I mean, the actors themselves, we're talking about the quality of the caliber of the actor or the caliber of the character. That, all right, different.
So,
okay.
You know, we're not getting an Iron Man and a, well, we won't get those two anyway, but we're not getting a Black Widow TV show.
No, but how great would it have been if Black Widow's, all of the before going back in time stuff, like there's a lot of stuff they could have used from the Black Widow movie to create a 20, 30 minute setup that we could watch on Disney Plus, getting us prepared for the movie.
Yeah.
Instead of like the Legends recap that they do, you can even do the Legends recap that goes into a quick story to set you up, to get you ready to move
you
into
what, maybe
this.
Black Widow's a bad example. Maybe more like Hulk. Not She-Hulk, but Hulk. You know, that would be a different...
Well, he doesn't have a... He just also doesn't have any standalone stories.
Right. That's... Yeah. Mm.
You know what I mean? So there's no, my point is that you're sacrificing the quality of the movie to try and close out these plot threads.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same reason why the last Jurassic World movie sucked. Like, it's fun when there's dinosaurs on the screen, but it spent so much time fixing prior mistakes and closing prior plot holes and plot lines that it didn't give itself to be a good dinosaur movie because it spent so much time on bugs.
Yeah.
Just like this movie spent a lot of time with the Guardians, and it just felt like it wasn't really part of the story. So that means all of that time cut into Jane Foster's story and Gore's story that was the actual meat and potatoes of the movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want them to sacrifice a good movie to follow comic books.
Right.
Because I'm watching a movie. I could read the comic.
Although it's funny because we feel like Maurer's definitely going to hate this film, but it plays off like the side quest thing he wants to see.
He'll probably love it.
just because he found out we don't like it.
Oh, it's great.
So now he's going to go, I can't wait for that text message because you know that's going to happen. We're just one morning, we're all going to wake up going, saw Thor last night. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
and then we're going to hit the show like, what?
But you know what? That's another point. That's because he hated Ragnarok, and that makes sense. That's not his kind of a thing.
I really enjoyed Ragnarok, and
part of what made Ragnarok great was coming off the heels of Dark World, which was trash. Like Dark World's not very good, and the more you think about it, it gets worse. So Thor movies were going down the drain to begin with. He wasn't a fun character by any means. Even in Avengers, he was okay, but he wasn't like the standout star. Ragnarok really flipped him. It was unique. It was funny. It was a different take. It was colorful. It was bright. It felt a lot more like 70s Thor comics, you know, 70s, 80s comics. But we've seen it. So it's like Taika Waititi tried to out Taika Waititi. You know, like he tried to give us Ragnarok on steroids.
You can't out what you just said.
Can't out Taika.
can't out Taika.
Taika will Taika. So... But that's the problem is that we've seen that already. It's like when you saw Hangover and you're like, that was hysterical. And then you saw Hangover 2 and you were like, that was funny. And then you saw Hangover 3 and you're like, will you stop? Anchorman 2 is just Anchorman 1. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So this has a very, very much feels, although very, it's unique enough, but it very much feels like trying to outdo Ragnarok because it follows even the same kind of plot beats.
Yeah.
Like the story beats are all the same ones from Ragnarok. It's just, you know, it just,
I think Ragnarok's story flowed better though.
Right. This just felt like three unique stories. It felt like the story of the Guardians, the story with Zeus, and the story with Gore, with Jane Foster kind of sprinkled in and out. Like Jane Foster, you didn't get enough time to actually care for Jane Foster. And I think she's great. I actually really like Jason Aaron's run. So Jane Foster's Thor is nowhere near as good as she is in the comics. And I hate being that guy to say it. But it's because she had time to develop in the comics. The movie didn't give her that. Her whole personality was traded off for taglines. It just felt cheap. And especially when she comes in at the end and she's on Pegasus, you know, and she's riding with Mjolnir. I'm like, this is awesome. This is great. But Jane Foster didn't feel like Jane Foster. And that's because you knew it was Jane. I mean, part of the allure when the new Thor first came out is you didn't know it was Jane. You were like, who the hell is this chick with all Thor's stuff on?
Right.
And she was like...
What if this is all like a calculated thing by Marvel to release lesser quality product in order to put our expectations so low that when the next wave of things come out, which may be good or better, we'll actually think they're great because what we've been seeing is trash. I won't say trash,
But if you have that kind, because none of these are bad. This goes back into Ms. Marvel and Moon Knight. They're not bad.
Yeah.
They're just not as good as they should be because the comics already laid out a good story that you refuse to use.
Mm-hmm. And this goes back to like my whole thing with the X-Men. Why so much deviation from an already good story that you can just put on screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. The calculated decision of Moon Knight not focusing on the dissociative identity disorder and to focus more on Egyptian mythology, I think was a miss. Mm-hmm. I think Ms. Marvel focusing more on the jinns and the Pakistani mythology, or the, you know, going into the Muslim mythology, is a miss for Ms. Marvel being the fan of Marvel. Like, she is the every fan, but she doesn't feel like that in the show. Mm-hmm. I feel like Eternals, having all of those stories not being a Disney Plus show and giving us the time to really enjoy that was a miss. I think Doctor Strange 2, forcing so much story into such a small little package, made the movie feel like a side quest, as we keep saying, like a sub story. Like, it doesn't feel like its own unique Doctor Strange movie. It just felt like a bunch of stuff happened, and that was that.
I mean, all this kind of goes back to my like need for just a solo story with nobody else involved, where it's just and kind of like what Maurer was saying earlier with, you know, I want a beginning, middle, and end to an arc all in, you know, one story, and not have to, you know, go read 20 books in order to get that story. I want that from the movies and the TV. I think we almost got it from Hawkeye. There's a little too much involvement going on there, but
see, I like Hawkeye. Oh, anytime the story,
I watched it again this week. It's the best thing that they've put out in a very long time, especially in this current wave. It's the best.
But you know why? Because you introduced a new character, but you kept Marvel at the center of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Hawkeye still is very much a part of the Hawkeye show. I feel like Moon Knight was missing from the Moon Knight show, and I feel like Ms. Marvel is missing from the Ms. Marvel show. And She-Hulk will probably feel like a She-Hulk show because Hulk's in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because your legacy character is still there, they'll keep Marvel at the center. But as they introduce new characters that aren't necessarily connected to somebody new, the goal is to harp on the cultural mythology, like as we're seeing with Namor being connected to Aztec mythology. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. It's a cool idea. I mean, I'm not a Namor fan, so it means little to me that they're like that Atlantis isn't really Atlantis.
Right.
But I could see already Features is annoyed by that. You know what I mean? So and I think that's the calculated decision that Marvel's making right now, which is, do we go for the fans of these smaller characters that have not really crossed any kind of crazy threshold of popularity for the mythology surrounding the lore of, you know, who we're writing about? Which does have a much larger audience. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I get that, but you know what's crazy? When we think about how the MCU started, right? Like, to your point, when you said earlier, Iron Man was a B-level character. Not too many people were digging him like that. But when they made that movie, that film, that first one, that set everything off, and it bolstered Iron Man's popularity in the comics as well, not even just the films. They can do that with the IP being exactly what it is, even with Namor. Granted, a lot of people don't know who that character is like that, but just introducing him, putting him on screen and saying, yo, this is Namor the Submariner. This is what he does, and this is what he's about.
This is where I disagree.
That, if this is the case, cool. They need to start hiring A-listers and the cream of the crop when it comes to acting, because some of these, the no-name people that they are bringing in, that's why we're having the problems. At least I feel that way.
Well, I don't think the acting is the biggest issue. I think the writing is the biggest issue, and I think the thematically it's the biggest issue. And I think it goes back to Shang-Chi, because Shang-Chi is a proof that it can be done correctly. You can't just make a Shang-Chi movie as good as that Shang-Chi movie was, just staying with Shang-Chi books.
Okay.
Back when it was Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the books weren't nearly as good. Like, they're not nearly as good as the mythology that was added to Shang-Chi. Again, going back when Bob Iger said, I think it was Bob Iger, when he said that Shang-Chi is an experiment, I don't think he meant because of COVID in theaters. Mm-hmm. I think what he meant is it's a shift in theme.
Right, yeah, well, including all the mythology and all that stuff. Absolutely.
Yeah, adding, and then since it did well, it did numbers, it did comparatively for, mm-hmm. for a pandemic movie, it did great. So now they're like, all right, that's going to be the cornerstone for what we do moving forward with new characters. So Namor being connected to Aztec mythology, just like Shang-Chi was connected to Chinese mythology, just like Kamala Khan is connected to Pakistani mythology, just like Moon Knight was connected to Egyptian mythology. These things aren't true in the comics, and they're not inherently bad. I just like the story from the comic more.
Right.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, perfect sense.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, when you think about all the next titles that are coming, some of those were, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Blade? Like, I have no idea what that might.
See, Blade will stay true.
Mm-hmm.
Watch.
I hope so.
Blade'll stay true. Well, he's too big of a character. They have to be I think there's a number threshold that they're basing this on. Mm-hmm. Like, Shang-Chi doesn't get a lot of solo books. Moon Knight keeps one going, but he's almost at cancellation territory, like, every time. Miss Marvel is new enough, and they had to make changes to Miss Marvel because they didn't want to introduce the Terrigen Mist. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Kate Bishop was lucky because Kate Bishop is connected to Hawkeye. She-Hulk is connected to Hulk. So they already have a gradual change, but the new characters that they introduce seem to be less about Marvel, more about mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe not bad. That for like, who knows? Maybe for Namor, it works great.
It might.
Who knows?
But then it's going to probably change everything that you like. Then they're going to go in that direction in the books.
Yeah,
100%. You're 100% right. You're absolutely right. Because I mean, Maurer keeps saying the Moon Knight hasn't done that yet, so maybe it doesn't change. Mm-hmm. But like Moon Knight, the show missed the point of Moon Knight the comics
mm-hmm.
because it wanted to make its own point about Egyptian mythology and gods.
Yeah. I mean, if they do a season two, are they going to write that ship, or are they going to keep going with what they've established with the character?
Probably not, because it did well.
Mm.
The thing we also have to remember as comic fans is that movie fans are a lot bigger than we are. So the movie and TV fans who see this are going, that's their Moon Knight. Like their Moon, and they're, again, I like Stephen Grant in the Moon Knight show way more than I like Stephen Grant in the comics. He's way more entertaining. Kamala Khan still feels very much like Kamala Khan. Like they did a great job of getting her character. It's just the changing of her becoming the...
A djinn?
Was it? Well, yeah, but she's not she's like part djinn. She's part genie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And here's the thing. The djinn are in the comics. They're just nothing like what we're seeing in the show, because the show is going towards actual mythology, like real world mythology, opposed to Marvel mythology. So the djinns in the Marvel mythology have nothing to do mm-hmm. with Miss Marvel. So it's not that it doesn't work. It does. Obviously, the show's doing well enough. It's just, to me, as a comic fan, was done better in the comics already. And Gore is a prime example of that, going back to Thor. Like, you used a character that everyone's excited about, but only put him in a quarter of the movie. He was the draw.
Right.
He was the reason we were going.
Yeah.
And he was the best part. Like when he was creepy with the little kids in the when they were in the cage and he was like laughing.
Yeah,
he was like sitting there trying to tell them a story, and he was like the way he was moving.
Even him just popping up out of the shadows.
I want a whole movie of that. Oh, he was so creepy. It was so creepy the way that he worked with the shadows. All and can we also just be mad about Null a little bit?
A little
disappointed. Null was laying there dead, and you're like, the gods just killed Null? Is that what just happened?
So if we watch it again, because I was looking at that body, and it didn't look like Null. It looked like a Skrull.
Well, and the funny thing is that it was the...
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the reference I made with the bangle on one of the blue arms in one of the shots, like early in the... Yeah. With the tie to the other show. Good.
The sun god and the god of darkness, or I forget how Gore called them, when they were two of them were fighting. Mm-hmm. Like they still used the comic storyline. It just felt sped up and unnecessary. Like even that opening scene, it was a good cold open.
Oh, it was great opening.
Of Gore's backstory, except for it got real way too Taika Waititi real fast when the god showed up. Mm-hmm. As soon as the god showed up, I went, all right, is this the whole movie? Because Christian Bale was great, but I didn't like any of the gods. And I guess that was the point. Mm-hmm. But it felt hammy.
Yeah. I'm sure there are loads of things that I missed And I'm sure with reading other, you know, articles and publications everywhere, more of that information is going to come out. Not to mention, you know, the director, writer, everybody, they're probably going to release little bits of other information that everybody missed. So hopefully there a little bit more goes into this that makes me want to say, oh, okay, it was all right. I don't know.
According to Taika Waititi, it was like damn near a 4-hour original director's cut. But he refuses to release any of the other footage.
Well, yeah, there were actors completely cut from that. Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, she was completely cut from whatever role she had, and I think two other people.
Peter Dinklage. He was in it as well. Yeah, no, and apparently, according to Taika Waititi, he goes, there shouldn't even be a deleted scenes list on the DVD. Not that people buy DVDs anymore, but it should just be a list of what scenes we got rid of without the ability to click on them.
No, I don't. I disagree with him. I like deleted scenes, though.
Well, okay. So Rye, who's been on the show many times before, we all know Rye. Rye put a post about watching after he goes, I saw the movie and I felt some way about it. But then I watched a bunch of breakdown videos on YouTube, which gave me a new perspective and I appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. My problem is if you have to go to YouTube to watch a bunch of videos to make a movie good, the movie failed you.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
The movie failed you. If you didn't come out of that, like, it is a good romantic comedy, if you want to look at it that light, which is what he says. He says it's their first romantic comedy. Sure. Okay. But it doesn't change the fact that it wasn't that good. Didn't change the fact that we all left the theater like, huh, well, that was a Thor movie, I guess. Like, I left the theater less excited than when I saw Dark World, because at least Dark World, I was like, it's all still new. And then you think about Dark World and it gets worse. This movie, I have to watch breakdowns to appreciate. That's not a good sign.
When I was done seeing it, you guys remember Do the Right Thing, right? The movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
You remember Radio Raheem, who had, the two hands, one with love and one with hate? That's A, how I felt, and B, what it should have been called. Thor, Love and Hate. Mm.
Well, and then I like the twist for Love and Thunder. Like, it turned out to be Gore's daughter. Well, first off, Gore's daughter's a little weird, mm-hmm. but it was just like Chris Hemsworth's way to get his daughter into the MCU. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Aw, it's cute.
Yeah, both his kids are in that movie. Mm-hmm. But she's gonna be an actress now.
Well, like, she'll be in the next movie. Why not, right?
You know what I mean? Like, she's gonna be in the next movie. So it seems like that was a lot of the reasoning behind some of the decisions that were made for Gore.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, it felt like Gore was used instead of us getting a Gore story, Gore was used to get us to get us to care more about this movie, because it doesn't really have a villain. It does, like, Gore's trying to kill people, but, like, he's never in it. he's like a boogeyman, except for not scaring people unless the little kids were in a truck.
This is for my own knowledge and clarification, make sure I'm on the right page here. At the end, when the daughter is kind of hanging out there and there's the silhouette in the back, that's silhouette of Galactus, right?
That's Eternity.
Okay.
That's Eternity.
No, that's Eternity. That's one of the cosmic. So Eternity, the concept of Eternity is, what if the universe was able to get up and talk to you?
Okay.
So that is a personification of the universe. A lot of, when you get into the cosmic deities from Marvel, they're all concepts made real. So Lord Chaos and Madam Order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've all been personified.
It's Infinity is the other one. So it's Eternity and Affinity are the brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So time and space. So what we saw was our first real cosmic entity. Like, you can say that the Celestials are, but not to the degree that Eternity is.
Got it. Okay.
So that was a big deal. Like, Eternity showing up is a real big deal.
I knew, I'm like, this is significant. But I couldn't wrap my head around exactly what it was. I kind of thought, again, with the Galactus idea and, you know, the way the universe coloring, I guess you can say, kind of back there.
Awesome.
Right. Yeah. And, like, that's what you always see behind, you know.
Well, and that's also exactly what Eternity looks like.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, that was very spot comic on. Accurate. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the way that they did it, where it just looked like you could walk through them, was awesome. Now, there's a character that I don't know enough about. This character, I probably even shouldn't bring this up, because it's a young Avengers character that we know my dislike for the young Avengers.
Right. Singularity.
Named Singularity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You want to tell a feature? You want to tell my story?
No. I don't want to tell your story. I was just.
So who's Singularity?
Well,
you wanted to interject. You're in a part. You're part of it now.
I am. Well, Singularity is, and I'm not too familiar with the actual origin. But if we're going by the MC, by what we've seen, then the MC, Singularity is a reimagining of Gore's daughter, but through Eternity.
We don't know that. That's true. That's my theory. That's my guess. That's my guess. You just said my guess. This is what's going to happen from now on, Features. When we go see movies together and I have opinions, I'm going to keep them to myself. I'm not going to tell you my opinion. This movie leave the theater so you can't shoehorn it as your own.
So when Clint, and I'm talking about Clint Barton, when he sets up this whole, when him and his wife set up this whole Young Avengers camp, because I'm pretty sure that's where this is all going to lead, then this character will also join them somewhere.
I don't think that's true.
You know, this is all off the top of my head right now, but I feel that's going that way.
I don't think that's true. This is my theory, is because who created the Young Avengers? Either of you know?
No.
It's okay if you don't. No, it's fine. Vision did.
Okay.
Vision's missing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanda's assumed to be dead, right?
Yeah.
So what if Wanda comes back doing some stuff that seems like Wanda's back, and then White Vision comes back and creates the Young Avengers as an initiative to help help take on Wanda, because there are no Avengers anymore.
Hmm.
So what if that's what they're doing, is they're setting up Children's Crusade, because again, that's apparently the Madam or the Scarlet Witch movie that's in the works, mm-hmm. which is one of the cornerstone stories for the Young Avengers. Mm-hmm. You have Vision takes Patriot, takes who are the original ones? It was Patriot, Hulkling, and somebody else. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, was it Wiccan? I think it was Wiccan. And then Kate Bishop just forces herself on the team.
Yeah.
With Cassie. She's like, by the way, I'm part of the team now. Kate Bishop, the way they did Kate Perfect. Bishop in the show is outstanding. Perfect. She's so good. She's so good. And I can't wait for more Hawkeye stuff because mm-hmm. of her. And apparently, did you know that she wasn't, that Clint was never supposed to come back? She was supposed to be Hawkeye. Like, she's to this day, she's supposed to be Hawkeye. It was because of the Avengers movies that they changed their plan and brought Clint back. But Clint was supposed to stay dead.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, he was never supposed to come back. It wasn't until the popularity of the movie came back. They were like, all right, we can't have Hawkeye be somebody else. Yeah. So we got to bring back Clint. But I have I think White Vision is going to play a role in creating the team, just like in the comics. Mm-hmm. We get our Young Avengers team to help bring back Wanda. What if White Vision comes in, creates a team to go through the multiverse, bringing in America Chavez to find where her kids are, to bring them in to make her better.
Right.
Like, what if the whole thing, like, we've all seen that meme that's been going around where he's like, we need to use, she goes, just give me America and everyone can survive.
Yeah.
And then Doctor Strange is like, well, why don't you just stay with me and we'll teach her how to use her powers. And then we'll just go to a place where her parents, where Wanda died or kids don't have a mother. And we just either bring you there or bring them with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Movie's over real quick. Yeah. The movie's done real fast.
And all that's going on zero while conflict. Like Nick Fury's doing his thing with all of that. There's so
that was a reason
like 20 years off
why
before we see that.
Oh, before that, yeah. Well, apparently it's being written now. Well, apparently the story's being
Wanda
written
will be
now.
50.
Like, for example, Ant-Man and the Wasp needs to come out for us to get stature.
Yeah,
I was going to say she was a member of the crew too.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have her. She's already a part of it. I mean, she's like Kate's best friend. So what we'll do is we'll get, and Kate Bishop may even make an appearance in Quantumanium specifically because of that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So they could. So White Vision could. The whole reason White Vision exists is to create a team to help bring back Wanda. And that's Wanda's redemption arc right there. Boom. She gets her kids. Then we get the Young Avengers and White Vision and her together. Done, done, and done.
So it's a country song backwards.
Yep. Yep. All right. We're almost at 2 hours, man.
It's been great, guys.
We got to stop this. I love how Maurer leaves the show. Maurer leaves the Maurer signs off, and we do a whole other show. Yeah. We did two shows.
Hey, why not?
We could literally have a Wednesday and a Friday show again.
Yeah, I mean,
this week
could split this, but
he actually suggested that in the chat.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Does he know we're still recording? Because that's even funnier.
No, he probably doesn't know.
All right. I think we need to wrap this up.
Yeah. I think you should do that thing.
I'm going to do that thing. You can find the show at Welcome to Fireside everywhere online. That's at Welcome to Fireside at your social media choice, unless it's Twitter, which is Fireside Crew. And if you appreciate the show, like, comment, rate, subscribe. It all goes a long way, and we truly appreciate all of the support. Thank you so much. Once again, I'm Minty.
Features?
I'm Moshko.
Ooh.
Features and Moshko. And I think every show should be like this. When we're done, we're tired, felt like a good workout, and...
So is that what happens when this?
Great.
So when this show inevitably ends, what's going to happen is there's going to be a Features in Moshko show, where Features turns into the new Menti at the end. Yes, I called myself Captain America.
We'll just keep doing a show until everybody drops off, and then there's one person doing a solo show.
Just Moshko. Hey, solitary solitary excitement. Excited.
Hey guys.
We're getting back to that.
All right, deuces.
All right, guys.
Peace. Deuces. Excelsior.